You bless me today to be treated special. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you would also give us wisdom to treat every single person who we encounter with that same special love that was sown into me. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you're teaching me how to receive and also teach me how to give. Lord, right now as we come together today to hear your word, I thank you, Lord, that you would allow me to give back what you've given me. I thank you right now for the word of God, the wisdom and the understanding that I have been granted. I thank you, Lord, that you would allow me to impart that wisdom into people today. Give everyone here an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit, not me, but the Spirit would say today. Let everyone here, as they hear from the Holy Spirit, know exactly what they need to do in their life. We thank you, Lord, that your wisdom is without fail and it is higher than our ways. So we thank you and give you praise for these things right now in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been talking about wisdom all year. We're in an area called the wisdom of healing and health, or health and healing, whichever way you want to say it is okay. But there's a certain wisdom to health. There's a certain wisdom to healing. And when we think about healing and health, one of the things that we have to understand is that there is more than one kind of wisdom in the world. Okay? There is a human natural wisdom that's based on physical things. It is based on what we can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. And if we can hear it, see it, taste it, touch it, or feel it, there is an understanding and there's a wisdom in this world that allows us to maneuver and to do things in this world. So supernaturally, there are things that go above that, but in general, most things fall in that category. So when we talk about healing and health, our hospitals and our medical systems are people who have excelled in human knowledge and human wisdom concerning how the body works, how the body functions, and what we can do to improve the condition of our bodies. So we need to understand that that is a form of wisdom. There are students right now in colleges all over the country that are studying biomechanics. They're studying the intersection between technology and the human body. And as they're studying that, there are going to be things that they discover that are going to be mind-blowing. They will be the edge of human understanding. Okay? Scientists have figured out how to take genetic fabric and manipulate it to create new life. Amazing. That's powerful. That's tremendous. I'm so impressed. Somebody had to be the first one to think about how to actually use a microscope. That I can actually put something on a piece of glass and I can get penetrate and see something that can't be seen with the human eyes. That's amazing. As a matter of fact, I can't figure it out. But you know what? The first time they told me to look in one, I said, wow, it's true. You can see. I don't know how. I don't understand it. I don't understand the technology behind it. I don't even know how they figured it out. I sit around sometimes and think about who was the first one. I saw somebody smoking a cigarette one day, and I said, who was the first one? Who was the first one that thought about putting tobacco inside some kind of wrapping and lighting it on fire? And inhale. Who was the first one? But somebody's going to be the first one to do something. And everything that people do, you can't understand. There are technologies and things in the world that we do not understand. We just know that they work. I go to my car. I take the key out. And now you don't even have to put the key in the car. You just keep the key in your pocket and push a button and your car comes on. I don't know how it works. But I get in there and I push the button Because I don't need to know how it works. I just need to know that it works. And when I know that it works, I will do what I was told I'm supposed to do in order to make it work. Now, I can stand outside the car and try to make it work, and it don't work. I tried, you know, in the morning, you're trying to warm your car up. I don't want to get in the car to sit down because I got to reach in and start the button, and I got to have my foot on the brake at the same time to make it work, right? So I don't want to get in the car and sit down and do that. So I got a system. My system is I open the door, I put my leg all the way down in there, and then I reach across and push the button, and I can step out and go do what else I got to do. I think about these things. Elijah, what's up? So I think about these things. But to do that, I figured out I got to move my key from the left pocket to the right pocket. Because it won't work if it's outside the car. So it's got to be on this side to be in the car to make it work, right? All I need to know is what I need to adjust to make it work. I don't need to understand it. I just need to know that there's certain adjustments I may personally have to make in order to get something that will work to work. And sometimes you're trying to make something work that won't work, and you say that thing won't work, and it's not that it won't work, it's that you don't know how to make it work. Amen? Healing is one of those things. We go to the doctor, we say, doctor, what's wrong? The doctor says, I think this is wrong. We give the doctor a list of symptoms, and the doctor says, based on the symptoms, I believe this. Based on his belief, he will make a prescription to you or a diagnosis for you, and he will tell you what is wrong, or he will tell you what to do. When you hear that, it is your choice when a diagnosis is made and when a prescription is made. It is your choice as to whether you choose or you believe the doctor enough to actually do what the doctor said. Amen?
So, faith is required even when you're dealing with natural things. See, we think faith is always spiritual, but faith is required even when you are doing natural things. You need to be aware that you're always operating in faith all the time, whether you understand it or not. And your faith is exercised in what you choose to do and choose not to do based on what you believe. Your whole life is made up of moving in faith in one thing or another. You believe in something or you don't believe in something. You do something or you don't do something. If you did not believe that they was going to give you a check on Friday, I guarantee you ain't showing up for work on Monday. If you have any question as to their ability to pay you on Friday, I guarantee Monday morning you are not going to go. Well, brother, we might pay you on Friday. Well, and then you might see me on Monday. Because if I don't believe, I ain't going. And if you believe, you ain't going. Faith is not spooky. Faith is the substance of things you hope for, and it is the evidence of things that you do not yet see. I don't see the check, but I have faith that they're going to pay me on Friday, so I'm going to work. And on Friday, I'm going to receive the benefit of my faith. And when I receive on Friday, I'm going to say thank you. And then I'm going to impart what I was given to whoever I owe. Praise the Lord. There's a wisdom you have to understand that's based on foundational principles of life and living, things you see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. Those things are guided. Your interaction with those is a constant action of faith back and forth with what you believe or don't believe about those things. Whatever you don't believe, you stay away from. Things you believe, you pursue. If you don't believe that going to college is going to benefit you, you're not going to go through the work of all those classes. You're not going to do it. And matter of fact, when I lost vision, I said, no, I got to go. I dropped out. Man, I got a job. I need to work. Can't wait 4 years to get a job. I need a job right now. I got to work. So I left college. I went back to college when I had some faith to go to college. But when I was trying to go the first time, I had no faith to finish. So is that a crime? No. It's just my learning. It wasn't a mistake. It was my learning. And actually doing it the way that I did it was perfect for the path that God has me on. Amen? So God is concerned with our purpose. And when we talk about health, sometimes we want to be healthy just to be healthy. But God's design is that you be healthy for a purpose. God desires to make us healthy for a reason. And that reason requires us to be already operating in a faith to understand where we're going and why we need to be there. So I know I'm not making no money playing basketball, so I could afford not to get the surgery. I never did get it, okay? But I'm walking around fine. I'm not playing basketball, but I'm walking around fine. I'm running fine. I'm doing things I need to do fine. Why? Because it's not attached to my purpose, so it's not necessary. So am I well or am I wounded? I'm well. Because my purpose does not require that. So if I'm okay to fulfill my purpose, that means I am healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Healing has to do with purpose and not with just because. God does everything by purpose. God is intentional. God is a design. We heard that song today. God is intentional. He never fails. But I got this problem over here. Well, wait a minute. Maybe is your problem attached to your purpose or is your problem just a problem? I had to go to my reunion last night. So I remember at the reunion and at the door, the lady says, she says, oh my gosh, can you just have some words and bless everybody tonight? And she used the word bless everybody. Everybody in the leadership class know what that's an issue. She said, can you bless everybody? I said, oh man. Because I wasn't trying to stand out. I was just trying to just go and work. So I had to bless everybody. So as I'm talking, I said, okay, Lord, I don't know. I'm not prepared. I don't know what I'm going to say. Lord said, you're prepared. Just say what you know to say. So I talked about Thanksgiving and about being grateful. And so I just talked about it real briefly. And then again, purpose. See, you're in your position where you are for a reason. So God already knew he's going to have somebody have me talk, even when I'm not trying to talk. I'm trying to lay low, and I get called out. Why? Because God said you have a purpose. You have a reason. And so you need to be whatever is required in order to be in position to do what you're called to do. Turn to the book of Jeremiah really quickly here. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. I'm veering off for a minute, but I'll come right back. So as you're turning there, I want to tell you a couple of my things. We were talking about healing, and we're going to give you 21 different meditations that you need to be thinking about because your mind has to be renewed. So there's a natural thing that we talk about, which is natural medicine, natural wisdom concerning health that we have. And then there's a level up which talks about soul, the soul of a human being. So what doctors have discovered is if they can get people to think, and actually Evelyn was just taking a class, and in the class they were talking about alternative means of healing. And so one of the things they were talking about is that as a hospital, they already have all the science. But they discovered that when they can get people to renew their mind, that the science works better. That when a person's mind is renewed and they have a different thought pattern, that all of a sudden the medicine that they're using, their bodies respond differently when their minds are renewed. So the book of Romans chapter 12, don't turn there, I'm just quoting it. Book of Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. In other words, God has a good will, an acceptable will and a perfect will. There's a perfect will. There's a perfect will that God has that we won't see unless our minds are renewed. Amen? So there's an acceptable will of God. There's a will of God that God allows. It's no problem. We can have that, or we can have a good will of God that is a little step above just what's acceptable, or we can have the perfect will of God. But it's predicated on the renewing of our mind. So that means that the responsibility of renewing the mind, as it's given in the book of Romans, means that we have to be able to know that we have a role. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, I have a role in my own health. Now, the book of Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and 12 says this, for I know, this is God talking, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Okay? I will listen to you. Tell your neighbor, say, God's plan for me is for peace and not evil. God desires to give me a future and a hope. Amen. God desires to give you a future and help. God has a plan for you. God has a distinct will for your life. And to understand that God has a distinct will for your life means, well, remember we read Hebrews chapter 2 over the last 2 weeks and talked about Jesus came to take the power from the devil, who has the power of death, so that those who believe on him would be released from the fear of death. So to be released from the fear of death means that you have to have a mindset that says, I will live and I won't die. That whatever comes against me, I'm going to live and I'm not going to die. That doesn't mean things are going to attack your body. Anybody who's had a health scare from the hospital, please raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. I told you all about me. I couldn't play high school basketball because I'm injured every single year for 4 years straight. I get to college and I make the team. I knew I could play. Because then people are like, oh, you're wasting your height. And people got to talk to you like you don't know your own life. No, if I was your height, but you your height and you ain't doing nothing with that. So stop telling me what I need to do with mine. I was your height, if you was my height, you'd be having the same knee problem I had. You had the same broke bone I had. You wouldn't be playing either. So I finally made my college team. It's like, yeah, to all them, and got something to say. But I go to the doctor to get my physical. And doctor says, you can't play. What? You got the syndrome. The Marfan syndrome. You're going to die. You're going to drop dead and die. I'm like, oh, are you serious? So I can't play because of a health scare. And I walked around scared I was going to drop dead for a long time. But then I just said, well, if I'm going to drop dead, I'm about to have a party anyway. So I just went on that lifestyle because I'm going to die. And I'm so scared I'm going to die, I got to act a fool until I die. Because I got to do everything I can because I'm going to die. So he said, oh, you're just full of courage. No, I'm not. I'm scared as I can be. That's why I'm acting a fool. I couldn't do that. You could if you were scared. You do a lot of stuff if you think you're scared. But we have to come to an awareness. God's desire for us is for good and not for evil. And the unfortunate thing is when we get a diagnosis, sometimes what happens to us is that we begin living in fear. And the fear of death starts to overwhelm us, and it starts to govern our behaviors. And we start to live a certain way because we're afraid we're going to die. And that fear of death makes us not seek purpose. It makes us seek just whatever. So healing has to come with an understanding of a couple of very important points. And number one is what it says here. Number one is that God has a will for your life. So we shouldn't be afraid of sickness or disease because we need to know that God has a will for our life. God has an expected end. God's plan is for good and not for evil, to give us a future and to give us hope. God wants to see us fulfill the thing that he created and designed us to do. So we had the benefit of praying for a child today. And as we pray for that child, one of the things that God spoke is that God spoke, this child is special. This God has a purpose. This child has a destiny. This child has a unique destiny. And so you know what? We need to operate in courage and boldness, knowing that that child is going to fulfill that purpose. Is that no matter what comes this child's way, that child can fulfill her purpose. Amen? Come on, y'all need to say amen like y'all believe what I'm saying. That child's going to fulfill her purpose, just like you're going to fulfill your purpose. The only thing that causes us not to fulfill our purpose is to settle for the acceptable will of God. To not get our mind renewed so that we walk in the perfect will of God. So I'm going to introduce you to a couple of things here, and I'm going to try not to make this a long message because I want you to really meditate on what's being said. The mind has to be renewed to understand that God is in control. So the very first thing we need to understand is that we need to accept the revelation that healing is the will of God. Okay, I must accept the revelation that healing is the will of God. So sometimes we question that. Sometimes we're not sure about that. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26, we see God tell the children of Israel they were afraid of water. So they had left Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and they start to go drink this water source that they find, and they find out the water source is polluted, and so they start panicking. And so God gave Moses a wisdom to put something in the water to heal the water, and when they began to drink, they were saying, oh, praise God. And they were all excited. And then God said, you need to know, I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, when you cried out to me, I gave you a solution. The solution came in the form of giving Moses a natural thing to do that brought about healing in the waters. He gave Moses a medicine. Tell your neighbor, say, God may give my doctor medicine. That's one way God brings healing. God gives your doctor some insight, wisdom, gives you healing. And so you use that wisdom that's been laid in the world because why? Because God already gave us a pattern. He told Moses what to do to heal the water. They drank the water and they were well. Why? Because God will use medicine to heal you. Amen? So your neighbor said, that don't sound very supernatural. It's not supernatural. It's natural. Remember, there's a wisdom that is natural. So church people sometimes we'll say, I'm waiting on the spiritual answer. Well, wait a minute. You might need to start with a natural answer. You're not waiting on the spiritual answer to pay your mortgage. You go to work. You will accept a natural answer to pay your mortgage. Why would we not accept a natural answer for our physical body? Amen? So we're not going to get super spiritual. We're going to understand. Now, healing is God's character. So God said, I am the Lord who heals thee. When you say I am, it is a statement of your nature. It is a statement of what's deep inside of you. When I say I might be hungry, why would I not say I might be hungry? Because I'm not sure, but I'm always sure I'm hungry. So I don't say that. I say, I'm hungry. I use words to say what I mean. When I'm hungry, I say, I am hungry. That's what I am, and I know I am. So when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, is because God's speaking out of what he knows about himself. I am a healer. So the first thing we need to reconcile in our heart and mind is God says he is a healer. God is a healer. God is a healer. God's will is to heal. Second thing you need to understand about this same issue is Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. So God's character is to be a healer. And we're making up our mind. We're settling the fact of whether or not healing is for us. So Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up in front of a congregation in the synagogue, and he makes an announcement. The announcement he makes is this, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he says four different things that all have to do with some layers of healing. The very first thing is, he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. So to those who are without resource, he's saying, I'm coming to bring good news that God wants to address your lack of resources. The second thing is, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Now, heal the brokenhearted. People who are physically sick but have emotional issues find it hard to get physically healed. When people are suffering from emotional issues, they find it hard to maintain physical health because your mind impacts your body. That's why the doctors, the program that Evelyn was taking, they said, we got to get our patients to get their minds renewed, because sometimes our patients are carrying emotional wounds that don't allow their bodies to respond to physical treatment. So Jesus said, I got to pray and I got to come and heal the brokenhearted. I got to come deal with the heart issues in my people so that I can then give them their sight back and I can get them out of their distress. Because I'll tell you what, people that are dealing with grief over extended period of times, extended grief always leads to other forms of physical issues. Extended grief always does. Any doctor will tell you, stress leads to physical issues. Why? Because stress is an emotional challenge that leads one to say, the environment is bigger than me, and I don't have control. So I'm stressed. I can't control this. Stress gets in the body. It causes the body to react. So Jesus said, my ministry, why I came to be a healer. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're told that by his stripes, you were healed. Amen? The next thing is, I want you to turn your Bibles, and we're going to spend some time here. It's Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 1. To your neighbor, say, healing is the will of God. How many of you believe that healing is the will of God? How many of you know that the enemy comes in and attacks you and pushes against that truth? Now, when I say healing, again, I'm not talking about the absence of things attacking your body. I'm talking about you being well enough to finish whatever God says you need to do. Being well enough to finish whatever you need to do. And that's why gratitude is important, because I can sit around and talk about, man, I'm finna be 53. I'm really finna be 53 years old. Man. Bad wheel. And I can go down the list with everything that ain't like it used to be. I had a 4 head, now I got a 5 head. Man, I know my hairline used to be down here somewhere. No, it did. Man. Yeah. Cut off my beard and they say, oh, you look so young. I was like, wait, what? Then I started growing it back. They said, are you dyeing your mustache? I said, no, I got a black mustache and a gray beard. Crazy stuff, man. I can focus on all those things, or I can recognize, man, I'm well to do what I got to do. All stuff that may be wrong, I don't have no problem doing what I got to do. Man, I'm well to do whatever I have to do. Man, I can get wherever I need to go. I can do whatever I need to do. I can talk, I can walk, I can do whatever I need to do. I have no hindrance to me whatsoever. So what am I going to focus on? Am I going to focus on all the little hairline stuff? Or am I going to focus on the fact that I'm ready for my purpose and to do what I'm called to do? That I got both the energy, the stamina, and the know-how to do what I got to do. What am I going to keep my focus on? Where is my gratitude going to be? Am I going to be grateful to God for what I have, or I'm going to complain about what I don't have? So what did Jesus do? Jesus called his disciples to him. Now, these people were fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, everything but doctors. Everything but doctors. Verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. If healing was not the will of God, and I'm telling you this for a reason, if healing was not the will of God, why would he ordain his disciples to go heal? Why would he give them power to go heal? Why would he tell them, I'm giving you power to go heal? If it wasn't God's will. I want you to meditate on that, because this means something to the church. This means something to the church. This means something very, very serious to the church, because the church has lost its identity. And the church is trying to do a lot of things, but the things that Jesus sent his disciples to do sometimes don't become the things that the church really wants to do, because the church is afraid to do them. Or scared what's going to happen if I say somebody's going to get healed and they don't get healed. Well, number one, why are you trying to heal somebody? All right. That one flew. Let's go. Go to chapter 10, verse 1. So he sent his 12. Well, you know, that was the 12 apostles. That's them. I know. He sent the 12 out. Then he sent... After these things, when the 12 went out and came back with a report that they were able to do stuff, then he says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. Tell your neighbor, say 70 others. And he sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he was himself was about to go. Go down to verse 9. He gave them a command. Verse 9 says, and heal the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. He told the 12, I'm giving you power to go out and heal. He told the 70, you go and heal people. You go and pray, heal, bring healing to the environment. Now remember, in this season, they didn't have modern technology. So they didn't get moved by the fact that, you know what? Somebody prayed for me, I felt better. I went back to the doctor, he said, it's still there. I still got the same problem. Well, do you feel better? Yeah, I feel better, but I don't feel better anymore, because now I know I still got the same problem. It didn't work. See, they didn't go back to the doctor and get a second opinion that then didn't talk about their progress and where they came from. Did they advance? Did they go further? Did they get better? So they got into this ability to pray and see and move on. Whereas we pray and see things happen, and then if it doesn't be the way we want it to be, then we say, well, guess what? The diagnosis. We go back to the doctor's diagnosis rather than what is God doing in the situation. Now, all that is about accepting the fact that healing is the will of God. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Now I want to give you another concept here. Healing is the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 introduces us to something that we need to understand about healing. So there's natural healing that comes from our bodies being addressed by medical science, by medicine, by doctor's command. Then we have the soul, and that is getting our mind renewed, to think differently, to think about and have an expectation that God is a healer. And because God is a healer, I'm putting my mind in check when my mind fights against God being a healer. Now, I went to we prayed for someone once. They were in the hospital. And their words to me were, I just don't know if God wants to heal me. Now, we're there to pray. And their words were, I just don't know if God wants to heal me. I believe God heals, but I don't know if God wants to take care of my life because I feel like God doesn't hear me all the time, because I feel like God might not be listening to me, because I feel like dot, 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 dot. So they have said, I believe God, but I have excluded myself from that equation. Because I don't know if God hears me. I'm not sure about God's love for me. And because I'm not sure, I can't say definitively that God will heal me. So that leads us to the next issue here. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or make alive your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So this is the truth. The truth is healing flows from the spirit to the natural. Okay? Healing flows from the spiritual to the natural. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you're not operating in the spiritual, you won't receive that. But it has to be born there in order to translate itself into a natural situation. Now, you can deal with it on the natural and it will work, but there's another spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ, the life that God gave to a dead body and caused it to raise, that same spirit is in you. But you got to release that spirit to take care of your mortal body. Because he makes a difference. There's the spirit, and then there's your mortal body. Your spirit has to be released to let it flow to your body for healing. You have to understand healing flows from the spirit. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead will make alive your mortal body. It will make alive your mortal body. So when your body gets attacked, you have to know and be comfortable doing spiritual things to bring forth natural healing. Now you can deal with it on the physical, and that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's the acceptable will of God. There's a good and a perfect will of God that goes above that, which has to do with how you are awakened spiritually to move freely to allow healing to flow. And spiritual things work by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you cannot see. So to be able to accept something spiritual means that you're accepting God or God's word, and you're then willing to let that be your point of faith. So that you're not only believing what is physical, but you're believing something spiritual that goes over that. When my mother got sick, my mother, I could hear it. She operated spiritually, but at a certain point she got tired. And so she started declaring what her body was saying rather than spiritually. Because there was a certain season she was talking the spiritual and she was moving past it. Then she would start getting discouraged and she would start speaking the natural. And everything would accelerate. As soon as she would start agreeing with what physically was happening, everything would accelerate. She'd get back into faith and it would slow down. Why? Because healing flows out of the spiritual. And in order to have the spiritual, you got to move in the spiritual. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. I'm glad it's quiet. It means y'all processing what I'm saying. Hebrews chapter 2. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead. Matter of fact, yeah, you guys turn there. I'm going to go to 3 John. Go to Hebrews 2, verse 14. I'm going to go to 3 John. Third John says this. John said to the church, he said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." In other words, your health is going to be predicated on how your soul prospers. Your prosperity and your health flow out of not your mind, they flow out of your soul. They flow out of your soul, your innermost being. Out of your soul, and Jesus said, out of your belly is going to come rivers of living water. So what does that mean? That means the life of God is going to pour out of your spirit. And you will have in your life the things that flow out of your spirit, or you will have what you can produce out of the natural. But there's some people who figure out how to let God be released spiritually. And when we figure out how to get stuff released spiritually, we say miracles happen. And what it is, it's the release of the Spirit. It's the release of the Holy Spirit coming and moving on our behalf supernaturally. So I did something that appeared to be a mistake. And I know I could have done something differently, but I learned something. And I had to pray. And I had to begin to pray. And I had to make a declaration. I said, "Lord, I need you to move on my behalf in this area. Lord, right now, I need you to show up because I can't do this. I need you to show up supernaturally. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but Lord, I know you're going to do it because I believe that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think." Now, what am I doing? I know what my mind says about the circumstance, but what I'm doing is I'm activating a spiritual principle, which is faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So sometimes you have to put yourself in a position where you start speaking the word instead of what you feel so you can begin to produce an environment in your own head that allows a condition in which faith can operate. Because in your mind lie all the landmines to your faith. In your own mind are all the things that will disqualify you from being healed or you from being blessed or you from being whatever it is God says in his word. So you have to deliberately take the word and say the word or confess the word or meditate on the word, not so you can be a Bible scholar, but so you can get God's word planted in your heart so that when things against that come, you can cast those things down and say what God says and bring forth a spiritual issue. So this particular thing had to do with the IRS. I needed healing. I needed tax healing.
Amen. I know you know, Pastor. Come on, I needed tax healing. And I was not able. Y'all think I'm joking. I'm serious. I needed tax healing. Tammy, we needed tax healing, didn't we? We needed tax healing, not just me, because we is one. So whenever I needed, she needed too. We needed some tax healing. And I had to just pray. I said, okay, Lord, I'm in your hands. You know what I have and what I don't have. You know what I do and you know what I don't do. You know what I try to be faithful about. You know everything about me. So, Father, right now, your word says you will supply all my need according to your riches and your glory through Christ Jesus. You said in your word that the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and you turn that whichever way you desire. And I needed the heart to be changed because the IRS man came to my door. He came to the front door, to the house. Pop, pop, pop. He's at the door. Amen. It's the truth. Yeah, I don't think I'll be making these stories up. This is the truth. He came to the door. He was talking crazy at the door. But the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it whichever way he desires. So it went from a situation where we were in the hole to a situation where I got a check in the mail, and we got another one coming. Amen. Why? Because our mentality has to be that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we can believe that about certain things, but when it gets to your body, when it comes down close to your body is when our faith starts to get challenged. So again, the external stuff, okay, we can put our faith on that. But when it comes to the body, dealing with what's in my body, whether I'm going to die or not, whether this is going to kill me or not, faith goes to another level. We get challenged. So we need to understand and be able to accept the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead. It's making us alive. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Come on, say, make this confession. If he can get tax healing, I can get my healing. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself, being Jesus, likewise shared in the same. Very first thing to understand, when you go through things, Jesus shares in the same. Whatever you're in, whatever your situation is, whatever you are dealing with, he's in the same. He's in there with you. In the Old Testament, there's a story about these three Hebrew boys who were taken captive into Babylon. And as they were growing up, they became trusted advisors because their wisdom from God was supernatural. And so as they began to live this supernatural life and they knew things better than other people, they still held on to their Jewish faith, even though they were in Babylon. And everything in Babylon was about worshiping the king and not worshiping God. Sound familiar to y'all? So they're caught worshiping God, and they're charged with treason. And so they're brought before the king, and the king says, listen, I put up a statue, and I told y'all, everybody, to bow to it. And I hear that y'all won't bow. So I'm going to give you one more chance. So I'm going to play some music. And when I play it, you guys bow down and worship. And they said, oh, king, just know this. We ain't not going to bow. He said, good. If you don't bow, I'm going to have you thrown into this furnace. I'm going to throw all of you guys into a furnace. Again, in the furnace, our minds, we got to get our minds clear. what a furnace in that season is. When they trying to burn and keep heat in a building, they got a big old chamber with fire, with logs, and they got stuff in there burning, trying to keep everything warm. He says, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the furnace. We're going to throw you into this fire. And they say, we'll put it this way. Know this. If you throw us in, we ain't going to bow. And if you leave us alone, we ain't going to bow. We're not going to bow. And so they were thrown in the furnace. And he didn't burn. Okay? Now, what does that mean? It means that God was able to protect them and God was able to keep them in the middle of something. But the observation of the people looking outside is that, you know what? When we look in here, we don't see the three of them. We see someone else in there. And their form is like the Son of God. Why? Because he's in there with them. He's in your situation with you. He's going through whatever you're going through. He's with you in the middle of the going through. And because he's with you, you need to be confident that if God is with me, I can make it. If God is with me, I'm going to be able to deal with whatever it is. And matter of fact, I'm not just going to deal with it. I'm going to overcome. He himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death is there to put your faith out of business. It's there to get you to buy off on those things which will not contribute to you releasing your spiritual power for healing. The fear of death gets you caught into the natural realm where if my body doesn't respond to natural things, that means I'm done. Rather than my body is going to respond to the spiritual and I'm going to move and do everything I'm called to do. I'm so confident of that, I'm not going to sit around and wait around to die. I'm going to activate myself for my purpose and do what I'm called to do. So let's summarize this. My job in my own healing, and again, healing comes in a lot of different forms, but my own job in my own healing is to first help create the atmosphere for healing. I start creating an atmosphere by starting to get my mind renewed, to begin, before I ever get sick, to know what does God say about health. See, it's easier to fight something when it's small than when it gets big. Amen? So you walk past your lawn, you see the weed down there. If you reach down and pluck him while he's small, it ain't no problem. You toss him in the can, you're done. You let him get 3 feet high, and you're going to be pulling them up. You're going to have thorns in your hands. And you're going to be all jacked up. And you're going to be fussing at that weed like it's a human being if you let it get big. But our proactive approach is to start confessing the word and recognize God's will for my wisdom is to know that one day my body's going to get attacked. And so I need to right now settle in my mind and my heart that God is a healer before I have to do it. And there's some things you might just quench before they ever get big if you begin to operate and move in that spiritual truth. Amen? Amen. We're going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your spirit moving among us right now. We thank you for those in physical battles. We thank you that you are a healer. I thank you right now. Your word says that those that come to you must believe that you are, and that you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. So I thank you right now for everyone with a physical challenge. I thank you right now. You are, first of all, giving us gratitude for the wellness that we have. I thank you right now that we are full of joy for the wellness that we have, that we have well things about us, and we choose to focus on those well things. And those things which need to be healed in order to loose us to fulfill our purpose, Lord, right now we speak to those things and thank you in the name of Jesus that you, by your spirit, have already revealed that you are a healer. You've revealed that Jesus' ministry was to heal. And you revealed that you gave us, the church, the power to heal and the command to go forth and heal. So we thank you right now in Jesus' name that we are in agreement with your word, and we are in agreement that there is healing available for everyone who is fighting.